Let me begin by saying it might sound kind of silly, but many people, even in Augusta, Georgia, missed Christmas this year. Now, culturally, people observed the Christmas season, even in spite of COVID. But the masses are really utterly oblivious to the reality of what we just celebrated. We see people all around us celebrating Christmas, but really they don't know what they're celebrating. A newspaper did some man-on-the-street interviews where reporters asked people their opinions of the real meaning of Christmas. Some said Christmas is a family time, especially for children. Another person said Christmas is a time to celebrate love for one's fellow man and the spirit of giving. Third response was Christmas is just another excuse to party. But surprisingly, not one person interviewed made mention of the miracle of God's birth as a human baby, which to me is kind of surprising. You'd think someone would make the connection. Well, today, Christmas, with its utter commercialism, really has morphed into let's rock around the Christmas tree rather than glory to the newborn king. And God and man have been reconciled. In today's society, Christ and his birthday are really rendered irrelevant. But what is true today regarding people missing Christmas was really true back in Bible days. And I want us to focus our study this evening on one person who missed Christmas and then two groups of people who missed Christmas. The innkeeper and then the two groups, the religious leaders and the Jewish people, will form our outline this evening. Well, who missed Christmas? Well, the innkeeper. Now, Scripture doesn't introduce to us who this particular man was. We don't see his face. We certainly don't know his name. But the night of Jesus' birth, an innkeeper turned away a man and his expected wife. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 7, we see, in essence, what this innkeeper said to Mary and Joseph. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So what did the innkeeper say to Mary and Joseph? I have no room in my inn for you. And so the point is, this innkeeper missed Christmas. And to add insult to injury, this innkeeper not only turned Joseph and Mary away, but apparently he failed to call for someone, some midwife, to help this young mother who was about ready to give birth, which means Mary was basically alone when she birthed her firstborn son. Notice again the words, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and we could say she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No midwife, no concerned help, and we aren't sure the role that Joseph played. If he was a typical first-time father, he would probably have been of little help to his teenage wife. Now let's understand such a birth was atypical even in first century Jewish culture. You know, the Jews were civilized, intelligent, educated people who cared deeply about human life, which all means it would be very unusual for a young woman about to give birth to be turned away from an inn and left alone in a place reserved for animals. And yet I think we're safe in saying that's just what happened. Again, Luke 2:7 specifically tells us that Mary brought forth her child, and she wrapped him swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger, where usually a midwife would clean and care for the baby, wrap him. No one else was present. Mary did it all by herself. And where there usually would have been a cradle or some basket for the baby, that too was missing. Mary had to place Jesus in a trough that held the food of animals. To Campbell Morgan, as appropriately written, she brought forth. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. It's a very beautiful, but oh, the pity of it, the tragedy of it, the loneliness of it, that in that hour of all hours when womanhood should be surrounded by the tenderest care, she was alone. The method of the writer is very distinct. She with her own hands wrapped the baby round with those swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. There was no one to do it for her. Again, I say, the pity of it, and yet the glory of it to the heart of Mary. Now, again, the innkeeper is not specifically mentioned, and the type of inn is not identified. The Greek word used here for inn can mean several things, a guest room, an hostel, or simply a shelter. The point is, whatever, the hospitality Joseph and Mary sought and needed was not provided. They were turned away. There was no room for them in the inn. And the one who turned them away missed the very first Christmas. Now, the reasonable question is why? Why did this innkeeper miss Christmas? Can we say because he was a mean old man? I don't think so. I think he missed Christmas because he was preoccupied. And yes, it was a busy time. It was census time. His inn was, I'm sure, full. Bethlehem was filled with the relatives of David, his descendants, along with every other family who had roots in Bethlehem. And so again, the town was crowded. The innkeeper was busy, and can we add, probably very busy. Now, there is no indication that he was rude or hostile or even uncaring or unsympathetic. He was just busy. Maybe we could say too busy. And yet how close this innkeeper was to it all, how near he was to this magnificent, miraculous event. The mother of our Lord was at his door, but still he missed it. But isn't he exactly like the multitudes of people today? Most everyone, it seems, are consumed with activities, busyness. There are things that keep them busy, and I'm quick to say too busy. Even with COVID, there are still many activities, many responsibilities that can certainly preoccupy us. With the result, many busy people miss the Son of God. My encouragement is make time for Jesus. Take time to be holy. Don't be like the innkeeper. The innkeeper missed Christmas. He was preoccupied. He was too busy. You know, if you're too busy for Christmas, you're too busy. Well, not only did the innkeeper miss Christmas, but the religious leaders missed Christmas. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. And here certainly is a familiar portion of Scripture regarding the wise men. And let me read beginning with verse 4 of Matthew 2. And when he, and of course that's Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Really, what it's saying is, shall shepherd my people Israel. Now think about what we just read. The theologians, the chief priests, the scribes, Pharisaical aristocrats of the religious elites of Israel knew the scriptures well enough to quote from Micah 5 verse 2, But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of these shall he come forth, that is, to be ruler over Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. Again, these religious leaders knew where Christ was to be born. They could tell Herod and the wise men immediately where Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. And yet, do we see them begging the wise men to allow them to accompany them on their last leg of their journey to Bethlehem? I don't read anywhere in the scriptures them asking the wise men, hey, can we come along? But weren't they looking for the Messiah? The one Moses first prophesied would come, Deuteronomy 18:15. And particularly, now that they lived under Roman oppression, we would think that these religious leaders would eagerly seek the great hope of the ages, their deliverer, their Christ, their Messiah, their anointed one. After all, the destiny of Israel was bound up in his coming. And certainly this expected intensity is illustrated in the ministry of John the Baptist. Multitudes flocked to hear the one who had been sent to prepare the way for the Messiah. But again, these guardians of spiritual truth, these theological minds of that day, never even bothered to walk the 8 miles to Bethlehem to find out for themselves if the Messiah indeed had been born. Now, the question we must ask is why? Why did these religious leaders miss Christmas? And we say they really didn't care? Or maybe the reason goes deeper. Might it be that they felt they didn't need him? After all, they were the religious leaders. And religious leaders of that day were very self-righteous. They kept the law. They kept all the rules of the law. They were just in their own minds and proud of it. And so why did they need Jesus? They weren't sinners in need of a Savior. Friends, pride always separates a man's heart from God's. Pride, self-righteousness, self-sufficiency always declares, Jesus, don't rule over me. Don't tell me how to live. I can do it myself. I have my way. I don't need you. And these religious leaders thus had no time for the Son of God. In fact, during Christ's ministry, they became his principal opponents, his adversaries. After seeing all that he had done to really prove his messiahship. Never man spake as this man. Think of the miracles that Jesus performed. How about feeding 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? They hated, they despised him to the point they ultimately plotted his death. And just before his death, they cried, crucify him, we'll not have this man rule over us. The plaintive cry of Jeremiah in Lamentations 1:12, as he watched Israel going down the path of destruction, is certainly appropriate here. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Is it nothing to you? Don't you see? Don't you understand who this man truly is? But isn't such a hard attitude typical in today's religion of the religious leaders we see in our churches and synagogues and wherever, who, yes, give a nod to Jesus in the manger, but then refuse him as their Savior and Lord? For after all, if you don't think you're a sinner, why do you need a Savior? Non-sinners don't need a Savior. Now, they might not openly oppose Jesus, but their hearts have no room for him. Jesus and his shed blood is not their way to heaven. They don't preach, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. They don't teach, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, such religious leaders miss Christmas. And how desperately sad. The ones who are to show the way refuse themselves the way, and they work hard to keep others from finding that way. So not only did the innkeeper miss Christmas, but the religious leaders miss Christmas as well. Which brings us to our last point, and I want to look at this second group that missed Christmas, and we'll call them the Jewish people of that day. Luke chapter 2, and here we see the angels giving news to the shepherds that a Christ child had been born. Good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now think about what we just read. Out of the whole of Jewish society, God chose shepherds, the lowest and most despised social group, to be the recipients of the news of Jesus' birth. We ask why. Why were shepherds classified so low in Jewish society the ones the angels spoke to? Well, the answer is the very nature of their work kept them from entering the mainstream of everyday Jewish societal life, meaning they could not maintain all the ceremonial washings and observe all the religious festivals and feasts. And yet these shepherds were undoubtedly caring, raising the very sheep that someday would be used as sacrifices in the temple. I guess God knew who would spread the news, the shepherds. So he revealed Christ's birth to them. And what did they do as they went throughout Bethlehem? They widely made known the saying which was told them concerning this Christ child. Now let me ask you this. Do we then read in this particular portion of Scripture that many of the citizens of Bethlehem and maybe those the surrounding areas of Jerusalem came with haste to this place where Jesus and his parents were? Did they come to see Christ the Lord? I mean, isn't that what the angels said to the shepherd? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the God. He's God. And then what did the shepherds do? They spoke this news to those around them. But we don't read of anyone else going to see Mary and Joseph and the babe. We don't see anyone else. No one else came to Jesus, even after marveling at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And the Savior is no ordinary Savior. He's the Messiah. He's God. Again, I find that remarkable. You would think, just out of curiosity, some folk would want to come and see. After all, Jesus was within walking distance, and yet only the lowly shepherds came. The men who couldn't keep all the rules and regulations came. The humble came. The non-religious came. Why did the Jewish people miss Christmas? Well, the answer is religion. The Jews were religious. They were very religious. And Jerusalem with the temple was the hub of their religious activity. So can we say the people were so busy with religious ritual, they were so consumed with their feasts and festivities and ceremonies and washings and other minutiae and externals that they missed the reality of the shepherd's message? Yes, they had the right God, but they were worshiping him in the wrong way. They had the externals, but their heart was far from him. John writes in his gospel, he came unto his own, and his own did what? They received him not. Now let's understand that religion is a deadly trap. Rituals, rules, that high church feeling can enable people to feel spiritual when they really are not. Please understand, religious activity is not synonymous with genuine righteousness. But people would rather have the religious activity and feel proud about it and warm inside and not have genuine righteousness. One famous theologian has said, religion damns people to hell as surely as immorality. I want you to listen to Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Of his ministers also being transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Which tells us Satan uses religion to make people miss Christmas. And I say, how sad. And so let's understand as we close those who miss Christmas because of busyness or self-righteousness or religion, or all of the above, really have missed God because Jesus is God. One theologian puts it this way, one of the greatest tragedies of our time is not that God has forgotten us, but that we have forgotten him. How sad at Christmas time, the birth of our Savior, that we don't get it right, that so many people miss it. I know you all heard of Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was a Russian-born Nobel Prize winner. He said the following words after he had been given an award by Prince Philip at Buckingham Palace and included in the congregation of people that he was addressing after receiving the Templeton Foundation Prize for Progress in Religion. He said these words, "Over half a century ago, while I was still a child, I remember hearing a number of older people offer the following explanation of the great disaster that had befallen Russia. Men have forgotten God." And he goes on to say, if I were called upon to identify the principal trait of the entire 20th century, I would be unable to find anything more precise and more worthy than to repeat, men have forgotten God. Can we say that that is happening here in America? I think we can. I think when Christmas time comes around and so many people are preoccupied with everything else but Jesus, I think we can say people have forgotten God. This is my humble opinion, but I really believe that this COVID pandemic is God's way of trying to get our attention. I think we have forgotten God. I think this world has forgotten God. And this is just a precursor of what's going to happen after Christ comes back for his bride, his church. Pandemics are going to sweep the world. And we're not going to just see several hundred thousand people die. We're going to see the majority of the world die. You don't forget God and get by with it. You don't mock God. You know, God has sent his Son to give us a way of salvation, and we reject that one who gives us salvation. God's not mocked. But the good news is, even in the midst of all that's going on in this world, you don't have to be of that number who have forgotten God. You don't have to miss Christmas. You don't have to be like the innkeeper. You don't have to be like the religious leaders. You don't have to be like the Jewish people in general. You can turn from your sin. You can turn from your unbelief. You can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can receive him as your God. You know, when Jesus is your God, that's who you worship. That's who you give time to. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." We know the verse so well, Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, this unspeakable gift, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Man's guilt, but God's gift. May God deliver us from the busyness, the self-righteousness, from religion that will keep us from seeking Jesus in 2021. You don't want to miss Christmas.